hour number two of the G.I. Jake Show starts now.
Hour number two of the G.I. Jake Show starts now right here on Fan Run Radio. Jake Miller, Brett Hollander, intern Jack, one more hour. It is time for the Sit Rep presented by Inward Half Golf. Up first, NBA playoff action continues on tonight as the Indiana Pacers take on the New York Knicks. And in game two of the Western Conference semis, you have Minnesota and Denver. Tennessee baseball picking up a huge series win and moving up to number one in the country with this past weekend's performance at Florida. Also, just a slew of victorious teams at Tennessee right now. You look around everything that's going on, everything's going pretty well. And by the way, our hockey team is moving up to D1.
I did see that.
Which was very interesting to me. I think women's hockey is going to become a thing as well, if I'm not mistaken, add another sport there.
It's growing.
It's growing. And, you know, obviously we know that it's going to take football and basketball supporting these groups financially, because I mean, let's call it like it is, not a lot of these programs turn a profit. Like, there's only a handful of athletic departments in the country that profit from athletics. Tennessee is one of them,
right?
Alabama's one of them, Florida's one of them, Georgia's one, but there are only a handful that actually turn a profit each year. A lot of them lose money because of athletics,
right?
And I don't think that hockey is going to be one that...
Well, golf has to have money. They built that whole facility out there on Ocoa Highway.
I think somebody donated.
Well, I mean, it's state of the art, man.
It's state of the art because someone paid for it.
Yeah, who cares? Thank you. It's helped. They've gotten rewarded with the top 8 team in the country.
Yeah, I mean,
and they have a golfer that just went to live, their best golfer, with playing on John Rahm's team over there.
Yeah.
Caleb Surratt. I mean,
pretty nuts.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. I mean, I had no idea. And then I looked up on Golf Channel, and it was like they were talking. There's a VFL that does Golf Channel coverage, and he was talking about the team on that when they were announcing the seeds and all, which was crazy.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty nuts. It's nuts to think about.
Yeah.
But that is your Sit Rep presented by Inward Half Golf. Enjoy the walk in with Inward Half. I think we might be having some trouble with the phone lines this morning.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on.
I don't either. I know the feed cut out on the video stream not long ago. We are working diligently to make
it. Probably the rain.
Yeah.
Who knows?
Like, we got
some storms.
I mean, we got hammered on the way in.
Yeah, traffic was terrible. It took me like 35 minutes. I'm like 20 minutes away.
Wow. And then, of course, Jack had to drive all the way across town.
Got here with 5 minutes to spare.
Got caught up in a tornado, it seemed like. By the way, we're almost a year out from that one tornado we had here last year, are we not?
Yeah, I'm sure it'll start popping up on X soon about the 1 year. It was probably around this time. Yeah.
Yeah.
That was wild.
I mean, think about that. You know, we were, when I was still working at the pool company, it's been 9 months since that happened. It was an EF2 that hit Knoxville, but we were... Yeah, this one I was still working at the pool company. And Hickman was like, well, those trees are swaying back and forth pretty hard. And then it took me about 30 minutes to get from the office to the interstate, which should be nothing more than 5 minutes. Had to loop through Home Depot. I have not been back to Home Depot since that, come to think of it. Don't want to go back.
Yeah.
Don't want to go back. But looking ahead to football season.
Yeah.
I know we had talked about the running back room a little bit last week, and if there were any concerns there whatsoever.
Right.
And it's weird because, you know, Jack and I, you know, we said we're at about a 4 on a scale of 1 to 5 in confidence in it. You're at a 5.
And if everybody healthy, yeah.
With everyone healthy, but, I mean, unfortunately, we all know that not everybody's going to be healthy.
Right.
So you have to take that into account when factoring in, you know, your prediction for the upcoming season. And right now, you know, I said, you know, 9-3, 10-2 should be on the table. Really, 11-1 should be on the table. Because every other game, I feel like, except for the Georgia game, is winnable. Georgia's the only one that I can look at and say, we're not winning that ball game.
Yeah.
But But I think you got a shot to beat Alabama. I think you beat Florida. I think you beat Arkansas. Oklahoma's a question mark. NC State might be a little squirrely. But every other game on that schedule, you should feel confident in.
Yeah, and just touching on the running backs again, like it just seems like Heupel, the way his system works, running back, you're not really worried about who's back there. I mean, Hendon ran the ball pretty well for a quarterback. You know, Small, I think, was his number one guy that season, right?
Yeah.
I forgot who our duo was in. Was it just flip-flopped? Was it right? Small.
Tyon Evans.
Was he here then?
Yeah, he was here in 2021.
Hendon's year?
2021.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, anyway, so you feel confident just in that regard. And there's a better threat coming into this season as far as running the ball goes. I feel like he's going to make better reads, smarter reads in that run, RPOs type stuff than Joe did last year.
Mm-hmm.
So you got to feel confident in that. Now you worry about him being slender, taking some hits. Like, hopefully he's got the sense. I mean, we always talked about awareness with Joe. You know, hopefully the awareness of Nico not trying to gain that extra yard, like, mm-hmm. you know, doesn't hurt us, knock on wood, you know. I think that's one reason why we thought maybe he wasn't playing, just needed to build himself up some more, mm-hmm. you know, and take him unnecessary hits. I don't think you're going to take a huge step back. My thing is with the running game more than anything is we didn't run the ball against the big teams that well. Right. I know we had the one run against Georgia for 80 yards,
first play
but what do we do after that?
Nothing.
I mean, what did we do in the Alabama game? Nothing. Like, we torched the bad teams or the not-so-good teams in the run game. But and a lot of it was Joe couldn't throw the ball. So teams were stacking the box.
Right.
You know, forcing us to throw. So hopefully the running game's even better.
Well,
and we've been number one in the conference the last 2 years.
Well, and two, you got to think about, you know, how we played offense mm-hmm. last year. That was not Josh Heupel offense.
No, he had to temper it for sure.
You had to. And what I'm saying here is you look at the throws that we would make when Hendon was our quarterback. You know, the plays that we would run, where the ball would be thrown. Mm-hmm. And it was night and day difference than what you saw with Joe Milton.
Yeah.
The majority of Joe's passes were either behind the line of scrimmage or 0 to 9 yards in front of the line of scrimmage. Almost all between the numbers and the sideline.
Yeah.
And the reason being is I just felt like they didn't have the confidence in him.
Yeah, and he didn't have the confidence in himself probably.
Right.
You know, like he made some good throws. Let's not act like it was all bad, you know. But, I mean, there was a lot of points left on the board from overthrows to stupid picks to
– just drop catches.
Drop catches, honestly. Too. That was a big thing, too, especially with, like, Thornton. Good throws were dropped, it seemed like, a lot of times.
I remember that one Keaton one in the Virginia
game. I mean, he had so many moments. His first half against Bama was unbelievable for Joe. Like, he could have been better in the red zone. He could have been better running the ball. I don't know with his size and speed that he had. I don't know why he didn't make use of it more. He was good at times, you know, fighting for extra yards. But there were times where he wasn't, just ran out of bounds, you know. So, I don't know. I'm trying to move past all that, think about what we have, you know, with Nico and all. And, you know, be excited for this upcoming season.
Absolutely. And, of course, Nico's brother is a part of the class of 2025.
Yeah, he ain't coming here.
No.
We've got a guy.
We got a guy. But you look at his list right now, I mean, he's basically narrowed it down to Nebraska and UCLA.
It's
interesting choices.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just, I don't know. It's like we got bigger fish. We got bigger fish to worry about.
No, and he's really good, too.
He's good.
You watch his highlights. I mean,
if you
didn't have a guy here named George McIntyre in the state, that you can't miss prospect.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, you'd have an in with him for sure. Hey, come replace your brother here in a year after you sit under him, you know?
I mean, as it stands right now, we have 9 commits total for the class of 2025. Notre Dame, Ohio State, LSU, USC, and Clemson are your top 5.
Wow. Yeah. Well, and I think there was a quarterback from out of Nashville, 2026 guy that was like 5-star, but, you know, with George committed here, he went on to, I forgot where he committed to. I want to say Ohio State, but maybe I'm wrong on that. I can't think of his name right now. But, yeah, no, we've got, you know, hopefully the next few years at quarterback just sewed up.
Yeah.
You know, if Nico can have a big year, get some more weapons in here, offense isn't going to be a problem, I don't think.
And these are going to even themselves out, but, I mean, like, for example, right now, like, Syracuse has the number 8 class in the country.
Yeah.
Alabama's at 7. Arizona State is up there as well. Like, Tennessee is 15th in the nation right now in recruiting. for that class, and Georgia is number 14.
So yeah, like, that'll change.
This is all going to change. Because at one point, I think Tennessee was ranked like, I want to say like they had dropped us all the way
hopefully
down to like
33rd. Our focus is going to have to be on the O-line, you know, for next year especially. I mean, I don't know what our roster depth looks like right now, but you got to think you're losing possibly four guys off the line for sure.
Right.
If not five, depending on who your left guard is going to be. So, I mean.
Just watching that Iowa game, it looked like Nico was running for his life most of the
game. Yeah. Now, granted, you didn't have Cooper in there. Oh, did Cooper play in the bowl game? I don't think he did.
I don't think he did either.
Neither did Spraggins was out. Mm-hmm. So, no, yeah, you got to protect the prize, and he's got to protect himself too. You know, he took some unnecessary hits against Iowa, if I remember correctly, just trying to make a play, taking sacks, you know, get rid of the ball, that sort of thing.
Right.
You know, so he'll learn, you know, and, you know, we got Heupel there to teach him that. So
it's going to be fun to watch this all play out, because at one point it was like, okay, well, what are we going to do once this guy gets here? It's like, can we trust Justin Worley, or can we trust Jarrett Garantano? Can we trust Nathan Peterman? Can we trust Quentin Dormady?
Right.
Throw Will McBride in there. It can't get any worse.
Mm-hmm.
We've seen that happen.
Yeah.
Will McBride took snaps for Tennessee.
Yeah, I just don't even want to think about it.
No. That's how it was, man.
Yeah, that would go back to our first segment discussion, just with the depths of despair, just watching some of the quarterbacks trot out there, you know. And I know we had a lot of it last season alone with Joe. You know, I mean, he did lose some. I mean, he lost Brew, and you know, he's counting on Squirrel, who's a little bit undersized. Dante Thornton's not helping him on any catches. You know, Nimrod and Caleb Webb, just not it. You know,
right?
You know, you hope you have with Brazil and Squirrel and Brew coming back, and Mike Matthews, like, and with these tight ends, like, how points shouldn't be a problem if Nico's any bit what we hope he is.
And I think he is. Like, I think he's going to be.
Like, are we expecting Hendon, number one team in the country, points, yards, all that? Or are you thinking, like, kind of in the middle, top 25 offense? What do you see?
I think you should be a top 10 offense.
Yeah?
I think you should be a top 10 offense and, you know, give me a top 20
is
defense.
Is Nico a definite dual threat, or is he just running to, like, do you see him more as a pocket guy, I guess is what I'm trying to say? And just running stuff when he runs within the offense.
I think he's going to be a pocket passer. He's not.
I'm not talking like Jaden Daniels was at,
right,
you know, LSU, where he was just 1,000 yards rushing and 4,000 yards passing.
Right.
You know, kind of thing.
But I think it's going to be.
But I didn't even know that guy had it in him.
Right.
You know, between his 2 years. So, who knows?
You know, we were talking about numbers last week.
Yeah.
I just looked at the roster. Do you know how many single-digit number players we have right now?
Single digit?
Yeah.
I'm guessing it's a big number and you're mad about it.
No.
Five players.
Yes.
Really?
Wow.
Actually, well, no, four.
Well, I know Nico.
Nico, Arian Carter, Dylan Sampson, Dante Thornton.
Really? That's it?
That's it.
Wow.
Usually those are the first to go, I feel like. It's those single
digits. Well, or you get like a guy on defense and offense, like two sevens or like.
We got two number 10s, two number 11s, two number 12s, two
who
number 13s.
Who's the other 10 besides Squirrel?
Elijah Simmons.
Oh, yeah, the biggest 10 ever.
Yes.
He could be 100.
Yes, he literally could. He literally could.
So that one you hate. Do you hate single digits or numbers like that on D-linemen?
Is it
just running backs you have a problem with?
It depends.
Like, I feel like Russell said he hates wide receivers with big numbers, like 84.
Why?
You know, I don't know. I feel like he said that. Like, I think he said when they were going through the roster, he said he could tell you if they're going to be good or bad by their jersey number.
No.
Like new players coming in. So Mike Matthews is like 84 or whatever he is.
That makes him look like a wide receiver.
85. You know, the greatest player ever to play the position was 80. Yeah. You know, Megatron was 81. Terrell Owens, 81. Now, I don't know what the
Marvin
rules
Harrison,
are.
Marvin Harrison,
88. And I don't know what the rules are in the NFL. Like, I don't know if you can be. Well, no, because Devontae Smith now for the Eagles is like 6.
Yeah, you can wear weird
numbers
like that now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why? I don't understand why that was a big deal to begin with.
Mike Matthews is number 89.
89.
Yeah.
Hmm. That's an interesting number.
Nathan Leacock, 85. Caleb Webb, 84. Trey Weary, 83. Chaz Nimrod, 81. Nate Spillman, 80. Dayton Sneed, 82. Remember John Finlayson, the big blocking tight end, wore number 96?
Yeah, absolutely. That's like a kicker's number.
What's another weird one that we've seen? Jason, I mean, he and Jason Witten were on opposite sides of the number.
10 for Elijah Simmons is weird.
That one's weird.
I mean, one of my favorite players ever was 21, and that's what Amari Thomas wears. I feel like that's kind of weird.
Right.
I don't know.
Wasn't Shy Tuttle like number 2?
Yeah, he was. Yeah.
He fell on a helmet, and that's the truth.
Oh, no. Yeah.
Yeah. He didn't fall on a helmet, Jack.
I can't think of any other like weird ones that didn't make sense.
Right. No, it's
I think Ohio State does have a quarterback, maybe it was last year, wore like 33.
That's stupid.
Oh, yeah, it was.
Or like 43.
Well, Michigan had a quarterback wear number 98.
Yeah. But like that's you know, unless you're just throwing a guy back there because you have no other options.
Right.
You know, like,
I mean, you got to
like, that's really weird.
Well, at least we're not in a situation to where we have to worry about running out of jersey numbers. Like, you look at the Boston
because
Celtics.
They don't retire anything.
Right. I mean, you got to think about it. Imagine playing for the New York Yankees. Like, the reason Aaron Judge is wearing number 99 is because all single-digit numbers are taken.
They are, yeah.
Boston, the Celtics, they've got a lot of numbers retired. The Lakers, they have a lot of numbers retired.
Mm-hmm.
Like, at some point, these teams are just going to have to honor the jersey, like honor the player, and have to give some of those numbers back. Unless it's Bill Russell.
Well, his is the only one retired across the league, right?
Yeah. And then Michael Jordan's is retired in Miami,
mm-hmm.
which I still don't get that.
Just did so much damage to him, man. What else can we do? We'll give you a jersey, just stop. Well, never buy anymore your jersey again.
Like, it was, it's weird. Like, they are the only team that does that.
Nice guys down there.
Yeah. Yeah, they did it in 03.
I mean, I kind of agree. I mean, it should be the logo, right?
Jordan?
Yeah. Not Jerry West.
I don't know. That we know that logo so well now, though.
I know, but, like, I don't know.
Did you make it the Air Jordan logo as the NBA
just
logo?
Like, you know, you probably play Pretty Penny.
How about a LeBron logo, Brett?
No, I don't even know what his would be. Like, I don't know, like, what was his signature? Like, that's the hard part. Or you do a Jordan fadeaway. I don't know. Like, you could do the Kareem Skyhook could be the logo. That'd be pretty cool. They should change it as the generations go on. Like, it's starting to be like kids don't – what is this NBA logo? Like, who is this? Is that Michael Jordan?
Like,
they're
going to
say Jerry. You're going to tell your kid, oh, that's Jerry West. Let me tell you how he was.
Yeah.
And it's like getting to be 70 years past. Mm-hmm. You know, like, you need to update it. Jordan's going to be iconic forever. You know, I mean, it should be, I feel like it needs a change. It needs an updating.
The NFL and MLB are the only ones that probably have their logos right.
I don't know it off the top of my head.
What, the MLB logo?
I mean, it's just the batter, right?
Yeah,
that's
it.
I mean, it's not a person, though. It's not a name. It's nothing. It's just MLB.
And then the NFL.
Yeah.
It's the shield.
Yeah.
It doesn't change.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, those are good.
Who should be the new logo? That might be the next question of the day. Stay with us. The G.I. Jake Show marches on right here on Fan Run Radio. Back here on the G.I. Jake Show right here on Fan Run Radio. Got about 30-ish minutes left in the show. NBA playoff action doing its thing. Falls tennis gets the sweep. Women's golf is doing good. Softball is doing great. We're number one in the country. We're number one in the country, guys. Do you ever see a day in which Tennessee baseball, football, and basketball are all at number one?
Like, in the same sports season?
In the
season?
Same sports year.
Oh, yeah. I think I can see it.
That'd be a lot to ask for, y'all. That's
so
crazy.
Is football next? Because did we get to number one in basketball this year? We got close, right? We got to two, maybe?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, basketball team never got to number one this year. Which, granted, going up against Purdue and UConn and teams like that, I mean, they're going to be number one regardless.
And just going back to now, baseball might be number one, but we're like 8 or 9 in the RPI, right? And that's how your national seed is determined, right? Just because we're number one doesn't mean we're necessarily number one overall seed, which is crazy to think about.
Why are we 8 or 9 in RPI?
I think the loss we had against Lipscomb dropped us pretty good.
Yeah, for sure.
Like teams like Georgia ahead of us, I think, and like Kentucky, and like it seems strange to think about.
Georgia's right behind us.
Okay. Yeah. You have the top 8 there?
Yeah. So number 10, South Carolina, number 9, Georgia.
South Carolina's that high. Wow. Okay. Yep.
Number 8, Tennessee. Number 7, East Carolina. Number 6, North Carolina. Number 5, Florida State. Number 4, Clemson. Number 3, Arkansas. Wow. Number 2, Kentucky. Number 1, Texas A&M.
So there's like 3 ACC schools ahead of us.
Mm-hmm.
Plus East Carolina. It seems strange.
Weird, right?
Yeah. They all got pretty – I mean, I'd imagine they're all record-wise are pretty similar to us, right?
Mm-hmm.
We're all pretty bunched up.
Well, then outside of that, you got Indiana State at 11, Oregon State at 12, Virginia 13, Wake Forest 14, Alabama 15, Dallas Baptist 16, UC Santa Barbara 17, Florida 18, UC Irvine 19, and so, Duke's 20.
They also haven't updated it since May 2nd.
Okay. So that's last week then, last week's RPI. So we got to think we might have moved up. I don't know how those teams did ahead of us. A&M lost a series to LSU. Obviously, Kentucky lost. I don't know how any of those ACC teams are doing, like especially this past weekend. But man,
baseball's a lot to keep up with, man.
It is, you know. But I wouldn't have thought, like, you would think just being number one team in the country, like you'd be number one overall seed, right? Like, simple as that. But I mean, they take more than just the national rankings. You know, they look at your strength of schedule and everything. But even still, you would think, you know, second in the SEC, what we are at almost, 18-7 or 17-7, what we are, like, you'd be comfortably in for a top 8 seed right now. And now if you go to a super, you're on the verge of having to go on the road for a super if you're a 9 seed playing an 8 seed.
Some of these schools, like, did you know that there are certain schools at, like, Power 5 conferences that do not have baseball programs?
No, I didn't know that.
Yeah, so, like, for example, Wisconsin does not have a baseball team. Utah State, SMU. Wow.
I would have definitely thought a team in Texas would have baseball. SMU.
Colorado and Colorado State don't have teams. UT Chattanooga discontinued their program in 1982.
Dang.
Boise State had it discontinued in 1980. Restored for the 2020 season, and then discontinued after that season.
Jeez.
That's pretty nuts.
Yeah, that is nuts. And the worst part is, like, for us, especially, like, tomorrow's a must-win. Like, you can't lose to Queens at home. Like, and even Vandy is, like, you need to take 2 or 3 from them, and that's going to be easy. But they're unranked, so that hurts your RPI. You know, normally Vandy's a given top 10 team when you're going to be playing them.
Right.
But they're struggling. They just got swept by Georgia. I mean, they're on the verge of not making the tournament, you know, when you think about it. But, like, your LSU, Florida, and Vandy, they used to carry the conference in baseball. Now they're, like, especially this year, they're down. And it's hurting your RPI, honestly.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you beat them, and it's not helping you.
No.
You would think a road win at the Swamp, you know, and you really should have taken all three. Like, that second game still annoying me a little bit. But, but, yeah, no, these are all must-win games from here on out if you want to host, it seems like.
That's like you got 2 series left, and they're both going to be very important series. And then you got a couple of midweek games in which you should win.
Yeah.
You should win. You don't want to drop any more midweek games. We got our one out of the way. We don't need to drop any more.
Yeah. And like we said, you said that RPI was from last week. So A&M did get swept. Mm-hmm. But granted, it's to Kentucky, who's right up there as well. So Kentucky could be your number one RPI team.
They very well could be, and who would have saw that coming?
No, absolutely not. But we went up there and took care of them too. So yeah. I mean, I don't know. I mean, you win and it takes care of itself. Like, you win out, I don't know how much they take in count Hoover or anything like that. Like, we're 1 and done at Hoover. Like, I don't know. Like, how long do they take? They take the conference tournament. Like, basketball, we say it doesn't matter. Does it matter for baseball? I really don't know. Like, maybe it matters for those teams trying to get into the regional. You know, and stuff like that. But And I don't even know how many teams make the regionals, like total teams. 64. 64. Yep. Okay. So it's just like a bracket kind of thing. Yeah. So, yeah, I know. You just can't lose tomorrow. It's one thing to, you know, maybe lose one at Vandy, but you can't lose at home to Queens.
No.
I didn't know they had a baseball team.
I don't even know where that's at.
I think it's Charlotte. I think it's in Charlotte. I mean, when I was going to school, it was in Charlotte. I had some buddies here locally go play soccer over there. Yeah. So I didn't know they had a baseball program, to be quite honest. So if it's the same Queens.
I think it is.
I know there's probably Queens in New York.
I'm sure.
Yeah.
I'm sure. Queens College of New York City, I'm pretty sure is what that one's called.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you look at the rest of the baseball schedule, if it'll pull up, golly, update your website.
Are you trying to find Queens?
Yeah. But, I mean, you have Vanderbilt this week, and then you have South Carolina next.
And that's at home, right? South Carolina's home.
South Carolina's home. Vanderbilt's on the road.
The rest of our games for the year are in Tennessee. So.
Yes.
I feel like we should maybe not clean sweep the rest of the schedule, but max drop one or two.
What's the schedule like for this weekend, though? Are we on, like, live TV, or is it on SEC Network Plus?
SEC Network Plus on Friday, Saturday, SEC Network, and Sunday, ESPN2.
Oh, wow. So two of the three games.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
Right. And then our last series is all SEC Network Plus.
Okay.
So that's going to be, man, these midweek games worry me now. Like, I feel
we're
like
gonna
I
have
to watch
that stinking
it.
Whistleblower guy, aren't we, at Vandy?
Oh, God, there's two of them.
There's two now?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know there's two.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, gosh.
One of them's the guy that looks like
best
leather.
Best way to shut him up, though, is to put some over the fence.
Mm-hmm.
Just pound their eyes shut.
Yeah. Like one of them's a preacher, and one of them looks like leather.
I can't think of anything better than just beating Florida and Vandy back-to-back series.
That would be fantastic. There's two Vandy Whistlers. Oh, my goodness. One of the things that popped up said Vandy Whistler dead.
Oh. I think I saw that, but
that was false.
Oh, it was false. Okay.
Yeah.
They were just hoping. That's bad.
Yeah. Vanderbilt baseball. Who are the Whistlers? That guy is, ugh. He just looks like leather.
Leather?
Yes.
What does that mean?
I think he's been in the sun too much.
Oh, I got you.
Yeah. Jeff Pack, 69-year-old from Hermitage, Tennessee, and Preacher Franklin, a 77-year-old from Smyrna. Franklin is one you're more likely to hear on broadcast peppering at bats with three short whistles, followed by a series of claps. Many opposing fans will try to jump on this and turn it into a chant for their own team. Generally fails to pan out. I want to know who wrote this article. This is a Gerson article, if I've ever seen one, but it's not.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah. Don't want anything to do with that. Don't want anything to do with them, but we got to deal with them. It's going to be the last series of the year, and if you're Tennessee, you really want to win. You want to win both these series. Matter of fact, I don't think you want to lose another game the rest of the season. I think that's doable.
Oh, it's very doable.
I think that we can win out. We got eight games, and I feel like you can win all eight. Now, you don't have to go down to Hoover and win the whole thing, but you at least want to host a Super.
Yeah. I do want to see. Now, Inslee had a good last game, but I feel like we need to get some more production from the bottom of the lineup. Like, whoever's in the DH role seems to be struggling right now.
Yeah.
A lot of strikeouts. Now, Inslee came through big, like I said, in that last game. I think he had seven RBIs, you know. So, I'd like to see the bottom of the order get going, but, I mean, the top order is going to keep doing what they're doing, you know. Maybe it won't matter as much, but I think that's the only thing. You know, you're hoping this has gotten the bats going again to end the season.
Right.
Where they stay hot. You know, hopefully we're seeing the ball well and all that. So, yeah, I mean, these teams are going to be favored against all three, all the rest of them. How many of them left? What, eight games, I guess?
Yeah.
So,
I mean, and you can win all eight.
Yeah, absolutely.
I really do think that Tennessee has the ability to go in and win all eight games. I really do.
Yeah.
You got the talent. That's not an issue. You got the coaching staff. Frank Anderson, Elander, Vitello. I mean, you're about as stacked as you can get.
I agree.
From a coaching perspective. And then our top of the lineup is, I mean, that's about as good as you can get. You can't really ask for much better than what you got. Between Simo, Blake Burke and Amick.
Yeah, and Tears. And yeah, I mean, the list now, it just goes down the list. And all the way to Dryling, really.
Yeah.
You got five guys right there. But 6 through 9, you just need to find just something.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just a little bit of offense. You know, Curley's kind of cooled off a little bit since his hot start to his freshman season.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Inslee's popping up now. So hopefully you're finding something down at the bottom of your order, too. You know, because you'd like to see people on base for the CMOs of the world, you know. And then that second game, like, you got all the way to the bases loaded, I think, in the last inning with Amick up, and he popped up, you know. I mean, you had the guys up at the end there that you wanted up and just missed his pitch, you know. So, but bounced back and got a huge series win, so.
Yeah. Jack, did you get to pay much attention this weekend?
No, I did not. I saw the tweet that we had scored 11 runs in that one inning.
Yeah.
That was crazy.
That was all I had seen.
See, and I was so scared. I thought we were going to lose. Like, when we went down 3-0 early, I was like, oh, God, here we go.
Yeah.
Like, I think they had, like, a two-run homer in the first.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, gosh.
Yeah, so, I mean, I was sitting there.
Pitcher was stifling us.
Well, and especially after losing the midweek game to Lipscomb, you know, you sit there and you almost start to think, it's like, man, is the season falling apart?
Like, yeah, because your offense wasn't going that well. Yeah.
No, I mean, it was not good. You just had to play 18 innings the day before.
Right.
So, I mean, it was tough. And then you roll out on Saturday, it's like, just get something going, make it competitive, and then you end it.
Hell yeah.
Essentially.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and the second game was frustrating because, I mean, I think Amick made like two errors in the game.
Mm-hmm.
One led to a two-run homer, and then he had a throwing error that made it a two-run game, which made it a little bit more difficult. Obviously, we got the bases loaded. We scored a run. Just didn't come through with that hit. But, you know, it is what it is. And, I mean, they're still college kids. There's going to be errors made. And, you know, and like all veteran teams do, they bounce back, like we said. And just, you know, their coach was so depressed over there, Sully. He was just like, he didn't know what to do. He was just like, oh, my gosh. You know, like, just no doubter home runs. Burke's bat flipping on him.
Mm-hmm.
It was just too good. I just, those black unis, you know, made us look like I think Bob said villains, you know, with the black helmets. Sweet. And it was night, so it was like even sweeter. And just going down there and beating them in Florida.
Yeah.
And the fact that I don't know what you feel about their stadium, like, they have no stands. I don't know if I like just hills. Like, I like,
I'm not
having
a big berm guy.
Maybe in the outfield, like, Southern Miss was all right. I don't know if I minded that. But, like, literally, there's only, like, a section of stands at Florida. And then the rest of it, all the way around, seems like down the lines and everything, just grass. I don't even know how they say that, how many people fit in there. Maybe you can fit more because of just being a grassy area. It's not seats. But, I don't know. I like our setup better.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not big on the berms at all.
Yeah.
Like, I prefer bleachers,
mm-hmm.
seats, something.
Yeah.
As long as I'm comfortable, that's all that matters.
Yeah.
I have to be comfortable.
Yeah.
And
there's just something when a home run's coming out there and the crowd just rises.
Yeah.
And you're like trying to catch the ball and everything. It's pretty cool. But no, yeah, the berms, it is what it is. I mean, the only thing cool is watching the kids run after the home runs and just crashing into each other.
Yeah. That's a liability.
Cool. Yeah. Or an adult just ripping it away from the kids.
Zach Hampel.
Yeah.
Have you ever seen those videos?
Yes.
That guy, you know who we're talking about, don't you?
I don't think so.
There's a guy named Zach Hampel. He has collected thousands, and I'm not kidding. Brett, you can attest this, thousands of home run balls, foul balls, whatever it may be. Like, this guy might be the epitome of just disgusting.
Just for collecting some baseballs?
Like, he's running over kids. He's running over adults. It was A-Rod.
They made fun of him on that show, Impractical Jokers. Did you ever see that show where he made out to be like this huge Mets fan or road team fan, and he went down and they were like doing a bullpen session, and every so often they would sign a ball and throw it back up in the crowd, the players, and he would just jump in front of the kids and just steal their ball, and the moms and dads were getting so mad at him for stealing the balls. I thought he was going to take a punch to the face. It was hilarious.
Well, he really got into trouble.
And I don't know if the parents were in on all of this, but, like, I don't know. People don't recognize these guys anymore.
So, there was one thing that he did, you know, it was back in 2016. He had acquired a ticket to the Fort Bragg game.
Uh-huh.
that was meant for active duty military personnel and their friends and families.
Right.
Hample announced on Twitter that he was attending the game and would donate $100 for every ball he collected to a charity for military veterans. He came under widespread criticism for taking the ticket, and because he had publicly offered $1,000 to buy a ticket, Hample claimed to have caught 11 balls at Fort Bragg and given 10 away.
How does he even catch that many?
I don't know.
Like, it like, doesn't even make sense. I mean, is there that many? Like, where is he sitting to where he's, like, in the perfect spot?
Like the guy is 46 years old.
Yeah. That's crazy. 11 foul balls or home runs or I don't know.
I couldn't imagine being 46 years old and trying to knock down a kid for a home run baseball.
Got to make a living.
Does he sell them?
No, he collects them. He literally has like garbage cans of these things. He's disgusting.
That is weird.
He's ugly.
Ever been the coach who realized the team's
well,
I don't know why it does
I don't know
that.
What in the world just happened. Let's go ahead and send it to break. Stay with us. Final segment of the program coming up right here on Fan Run Radio. Final segment of the program. The G.I. Jake Show right here on Fan Run Radio. Talked a little bit about Zach Hample in that last segment, and I didn't realize he had got banned from a collegiate summer baseball team.
Wow,
like,
who?
Banned from their stadium, the Portland Pickles.
What?
The what team? Pickles what?
The Portland Pickles.
The Portland Pickles, okay.
Yeah.
They have pickle nights?
I guess so.
Okay.
Said in August 2022, Hample attempted to enter a prohibited section at Coors Field, which required a specific ticket for entry to catch a Nolan Arenado home run ball. After Hample refused to comply, a group of security guards told him he would be ejected if he did not remain seated. Hample agreed, but complained about the fan experience. According to one Twitter user, a Rockies usher also claimed Hample had grabbed a ball dropped by a young fan and refused to return it. Cubs pitcher Marcus Stroman criticized Hample for the incident, calling him a, quote, loser. The Portland Pickles, a collegiate summer baseball team, announced that he was banned from attending games at Walker Stadium following the incident. Hample later removed a video about the incident from his channel and posted an apology. Here's the thing, guys. At what age does it become not cool to run after home run balls or foul balls?
I don't know.
I mean, I'm thinking like 14.
If it's coming at me, I'm going
to
catch it.
It's okay to go for it.
Yeah.
But then
you give it to a
certain line you can't cross.
Like, I'm talking about like running across different sections.
Oh.
That should stop at like 13.
Well, if you're giving that much effort, you deserve it. Like, if you're hurdling people, you're jumping, knocking people's nachos out of their hands. Of course, there might be some fists flying after that, but you got your baseball.
Clayton Kershaw called him a loser.
Clayton could go get enough baseballs to give one to every kid in that stadium.
And he would, but he wouldn't give one to Zach Hample.
I know. It's crazy. I've never heard. I mean, I think I've heard of that guy, but I feel like there's multiple guys like that, but he seems to be the worst.
He's definitely the worst.
Yeah.
I've watched his YouTube channel. Like, he's got someone that films him, and, like, he will mow down fans, whether they be 5 years old or 55
Sometimes
years old.
Sometimes it's hard in those minor league parks because they got like almost nets that go like over the crowd, especially covering the stands. Like, they don't have them once they get past a certain distance, you know, because so many people are just not paying attention in there, you know, like, especially you get one that's rocketed off your bat, you know, like just scary stuff. I mean, bats flying. I mean, you never know, but yeah, that's.
Speaking of bats flying, we didn't really touch on this. Y'all remember a couple weeks ago when Blake Burke's bat snapped in half.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I couldn't believe that.
I've never seen a BB Core bat do that.
No, it was like right on his hand, right?
Yeah. Like right on the handle, like it's separated. Because it's a composite bat. It's not aluminum. It's not wood, but it's like a composite bat. And I don't know what in the world.
He kind of went on a dry spell there after. I wonder if that had to do something. He just didn't have his bat. You know, some people are just.
They have a preferred bat.
They got their bat, you know.
And certain people are like that. Certain people just have a preferred bat.
Yeah, exactly. Of course, a lot of guys share a bat, you know, I would imagine.
So can we all agree that, you know, the age of 13 is probably when you stop chasing home run balls?
I mean, and as a fan, you can't catch anything else. Like, you can't go to a basketball game and expect to keep the basketball if it gets shot into the crowd, or a soccer ball. No, you can probably keep a soccer ball. I mean, I've seen it done.
Yeah.
You know, with these professional games, you just, well, I don't have it, you know, like, stick it under your chair, somebody holds it for you. But, like, I can't think of another, maybe tennis. Oh, man, here's a smash off, like, Federer's racket. I'm keeping this sucker.
Oh, I'd keep that.
You know, like.
I know after the matches, they'll hit some balls up in the stands.
The only difference is those might be signed. But, like, they change the ball, like, every so many games, like, 3-4 games.
I mean, people throw, like, wristbands and arm sleeves and all that in the crowd all the time.
Yeah, and, like, I mean, if you're a lucky one, takes a golf ball off the dome, you might get a golf glove or a golf ball from a player. If you're a kid, you know, they hand it to them after their round, you know, sort of thing. So, you know, but, yes, I mean, to go above and beyond to get a baseball seems a bit much. So, I don't know.
He has his own website.
Where he's selling the baseballs or showing his...
No, it's just zachhample.com.
Oh, gosh. I wonder if he has a podcast or anything. Does he have a podcast?
He's got a YouTube channel.
Oh, does he really? What does he talk about?
They did an 8-year documentary on the guy.
Wow.
Baseball collection. He literally has lists. Oh, my goodness. Look at this. Jack, you can go by year.
Dude.
That's dedication.
That's too much.
This is stupid.
How hard is that, though? That's got to be tough to catch that many baseballs.
Let's look at 2019. Look at this list. There's literally one for every day.
He's just got to be at a baseball game, like, every day of his life.
Oh, my God. 88 games, 27 stadiums, 472 baseballs.
Are you serious?
How is that?
That's just 2019.
He's got to be there for, like, BP.
He is.
Like, you can't just catch 400.
He has named himself the Sultan of Snag.
How many is that a game? What's the math on that? 472 divided by 88. Would you say 88?
He went to a few in which he didn't catch anything.
Ha, 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 ha. Still.
It's like four a game.
Gosh. He caught 350 in 2023.
That's crazy, man. I've got to almost start to applaud this guy.
For having no life?
I don't know. What do you have?
He's done something. We're talking about it.
Yeah. You're on his website right now. You're giving
he
clicks.
He got 273 the year that I was born.
Wow.
And that was only at three stadiums.
Really?
That was at Yankee Stadium, Shea Stadium, and Anaheim Stadium.
So what year was that?
95.
Gosh, that's impressive.
That's ridiculous.
How old is this dude?
46.
Dang.
So he's in his 20s almost doing that. Mm-hmm. Late 20s. Yeah.
Last year he went to 30 stadiums. Or excuse me, in 2022 he went to 30 stadiums. 87 games.
I'm surprised this guy hasn't been talked about more. Like, just catching like 5 balls a game.
Well, they don't want to give him any...
Like what you're doing?
Yes. Like, I'm probably hated right now. Oh, my goodness. Oh, no. He mocked.
Did he get you?
He mocked the logo.
Wow.
Oh.
Wow.
He basically has a stance of himself doing this.
Oh, wow.
On the MLB logo. That's disgusting. Don't ever be that guy. Jack. Here's the thing. I want you to have a life outside of work.
Of course.
I don't want you to become Zach Campbell.
I don't even want to go to many baseball games, let alone collect balls.
Understand. I understand completely. Don't do it. This guy is the epitome of what is wrong with sports fans. He really is. He really is. This is disgusting. Why would you do this? And I think it all started with him. When he went to his first baseball game and didn't catch a ball. And he made it his life's goal.
His villain arc.
Yes. But I mean, the guy literally has thousands of them. Like, I think the total is like 7,000. What are you going to do with that many baseballs?
I don't know.
Just make a website, I guess. I don't know.
I got a question.
Yes.
What was the better finish this weekend, the race or the Derby race or the NASCAR race?
Both were historic.
Yeah, we saw two historic. What was more impressive? Or what was, I mean, I don't know. I don't know how to phrase the question, but like which one? I mean, I know you're which NASCAR, so you.
I kind of geared towards it more. But I mean.
But those were like two of like the so-so drivers of the series, right? Or who was it between the two drivers that come down?
Kyle Larson and Chris Buescher.
Yeah, I know you had two of the three favorites at the end of the horse race.
Yeah.
You know, and I think Mystic Dan that ended up winning was like 18-1. Mm-hmm. So it's pretty remarkable. But like it was still like, I don't know, maybe because we just saw one pretty close earlier in the NASCAR season,
mm-hmm.
which I couldn't think it'd be any closer than that.
Atlanta was
and that
three
was three drivers.
Yeah.
You know, and this was three wide with the horses.
Yeah.
You know, and it was like which nose was going to go down and up was like the way it was going to win. You know, like, you know, it was kind of crazy that we saw in back-to-back days two finishes like that.
Right. I mean, two historic finishes that are going to be talking
about
for a while.
I'll watch the Derby race all the way through. I just caught the very end of the NASCAR race, which I'm glad I did. There was just nothing else on at the time. I was just like, oh, I'll flip over. Because I was trying to watch the soccer game that was supposed to be on FS1, was flipped over to FS2.
Mm-hmm.
So I got to catch the end of it. But that Derby race was something else. Like,
yeah.
The way that horse won, like, I don't even know.
What else can you say? I mean, just incredible.
Yeah.
Both were absolutely incredible.
Yeah, because the two drivers were bumping each other like the whole way to the right at the end, you know. So, yeah. Did you see them, Jack, or did you see the race?
I saw the Derby one. I haven't seen that NASCAR one, though. But, yeah, anytime there's a photo finish like that, I remember, yeah, that three wide split that was just straight out of cars.
Well, and that's how that guy that lost said, if I stuck my tongue out like cars, he would have won.
Yeah.
You know, so it's kind of crazy. And the other one literally won by a horse's tongue, you know, like or a nostril.
Yes.
You know, like.
A mustache, essentially.
Yeah. And he
whiskers.
He was up. I thought he was going to coast to win that horse race. Like, and those guys came charging. That's for sure.
It was definitely a good weekend for sports. That's going to do it for us. Thank you, Jack.
Thanks, Jake.
Thank you, Brett.
Thanks, Jake.
The Herd. With Colin Cowherd coming up next, right here on Fan Run Radio.